interrupt this broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. The German news agency...
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin from Washington. The White House has just announced...
Here is a news bulletin. Shots have reportedly been fired.
Here's another late development, and this news keeps coming in.
This is an NBC News hotline report.
Special report. Verdict sparks violence. National earthquake.
Unknown, mysterious, unexplainable. That is why you are here. And now, for the first time, we are bringing you the full story of what happened. We are giving you all the evidence, based only on the secret testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, the places... My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Can your heart stand the shocking facts of the true story of Joshua P. Warren?
It's alive! From the land of the sky and to high strangers around the globe, this is Speaking of Strange with Joshua P. Warren.
And the world is truly becoming more and more insane every day. Welcome to the program that gives you breaking news and insight regarding the paranormal and downright weird, where the unusual becomes usual. And we don't just discuss it. We go in the field to investigate. My goodness, the stack of things we have in front of us to discuss tonight. Why don't we begin in the Netherlands? You know, apparently by the year 2050, the global demand for meat is expected to rise by 60%. Patrick Brown of the Stanford University School of Medicine told reporters, quote, animal farming is by far the biggest ongoing global catastrophe, end quote. So what do you do about it? Well, here's what Dutch scientist Mark Post recently told a major science conference. He is working on the world's first test tube meat, a hamburger made from a cow's stem cells. He says that this invention will produce skeletal muscle tissue in a laboratory that exactly mimics meat and eventually replace the entire meat animal industry. The ingredients for his first burger are still in a laboratory phase, he said. But he said, quote, by fall, we have committed ourselves to make a couple thousand of small tissues and then assemble them into a hamburger, end quote. A lot of vegetarians are very happy about this, but the scientists supporting it say thus far, no companies in the existing meat industry have expressed interest. I wonder what the future looks like for us. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, author of books like Haunted Asheville, How to Hunt Ghosts, and The Secret Wisdom of Kukulcan. I'm founder and president of Lemur Paranormal Investigations. My producer and engineer tonight, Mr. Hardwood Forrest Connor. Good evening, Forrest.
Good evening, Joshua. You know, they don't need to be going after the meat companies for this. This is going to be competition for the meat companies. They need to be going after the vegetarian, like, people and all this good stuff.
Well, you know, honestly, would you want to eat a test tube hamburger? I mean, the way it was described there, it does sound gross.
Yeah.
And why does Shelley always start talking before she's introduced? That's bad etiquette. Well, don't talk until you are introduced. God.
Earlier. You're talking about why would I eat a test tube burger? Well, I think some of these vegetarian like fake hamburger companies already make test tube burgers. They taste pretty nasty.
Well, they're just kind of mashing up vegetables, aren't they?
Yeah, well, it's still test tube burgers to me.
But, you know, the idea of just getting a little blob of cells, growing them, and then mushing them and shaping them into a patty, it's almost like the idea that it is meat is grosser than if it weren't meat. Does that make sense?
I think I stopped by a local fast food chain earlier today.
Maybe it's already going on.
Chicken, and it really wasn't.
Maybe it's already happening. I don't know. But so, you know, okay, eventually we may be able to teach Shelley Wright some common in-studio courtesy.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Introduce me earlier.
Otherwise, we're just not going to have her in the studio anymore. I can't handle this. Okay, are we going to turn her microphone on now? Is that right? Okay, yes. Investigator Shelley Wright from Wright's Coin Shop has an opinion to express about test tube meat. Now, what's so exciting to you about this, Shelley?
Ew. I was going to say the same thing. Why does he get to go before me?
Okay,
sounds
see,
all grizzly and gross.
Great insight from Miss Shelley Wright of Wright's Coin Shop.
You give somebody an inch in here, and they just take 5 miles, don't they? You're the producer of the program. You guys are lucky I even allow you to speak on this show.
Mm-hmm.
And she is griping about the fact that the producer of my program was asked a question by the host of the program before she was able to comment on it.
Well, how can you?
It's outrageous.
Well, she's already interrupting you right now. You hear that?
Yeah. I don't. I'm flipping out here. Something bad is going to happen tonight. I'm in a mood to just get. Something bad's going to happen. So, what makes you an expert on meat? Since you are with Wright Coin Shop.
Because I like it.
You like test tube meat?
No, that sounds really gross. Grizzly and ugh, tasteless.
You know, if it were the dark 30 hour, you know what's going through my head right now.
I know what's going through your head.
I can't do it, though. Well, here's something I will tell you guys. Last week, the show started 30 minutes late. Did you know that? And we didn't even know that was going to happen. Now, that is on the East Coast.
I was about to say the East Coast show or the West Coast show?
The West Coast show was fine. On the East Coast, the affiliates ran a ball game post show for 30 minutes, and I didn't know about that.
I only heard about it from a listener who called me.
And usually I know in advance, so at least I can put something on the website for people who are listening. So I guess, you know, usually, like I say, I'm able to inform folks, but I don't know when that's going to happen sometimes. So what that means is, I guess the first half hour of the show, I got to keep kind of fluffy from now on, because I don't know if it's going to make it to air on some of our stations. Or maybe we should make it really edgy and crazy and controversial so people have to go listen to the podcast at speakingofstrange.com.
I like that idea.
So, you know, one way or the other, just keep in mind, you never know if this show is going to start late or not. But right now, at least if it starts late, it's only usually 20 or 30 minutes here on the East Coast. But speaking of all this...
So you're going to do some fluffing at the beginning of the show?
I think we're getting started in that direction. But I have a big announcement that I'm going to give on the show tonight. And I have to be particular about what I say, because it's such a big announcement that there are all these, you know, lawyers and restrictions on what I can say on the airwaves. It is going to impact everybody who enjoys this show in both a good way and a bad way. And so I know that leaves a lot of question marks hanging. But the second hour of the program tonight, I will explain what I'm talking about. But it will definitely affect this program, not only for a while, but maybe forever. And it's so I'm just going to kind of, you know, reserve the second hour of the show just to kick it off with that, and then we'll just talk about more news. We always have stuff left over when we do these programs that I wanted to get around to. So anyway, here's a story that I thought about you immediately in regard to, Shelley. Let me see here.
The rude one that speaks out of turn?
Yeah.
I want to point out from the last show Uh-huh. You've read no Florida stories. Did you know that?
Well, you know, you guys mentioned that after the fact, and it's true. I don't think I did read a Florida story.
Not one.
I have some tonight. Now, it may be that I had some and I just didn't get around to them.
Right.
Which is probably the case. But here's one from Bakersfield, California. Says here, this is the headline, man charged for allegedly cooking and eating cats. It says, in a case that has shocked even investigators, a California man is in jail for allegedly cooking and eating cats. The guy's being held in the jail. They're charging him with animal cruelty and using a pet or domesticated animal for food. I didn't even know that was a crime, though. So it says here, neighbors called the sheriff's department when they heard cats wailing and screeching at the 36-year-old's house. The sheriff spokesman there said, quote, he's never seen anything like this. And they say they found evidence that have led them to believe that he was using these cats for food. So anyway, you know, I read this, and honestly, I've never thought before about that being illegal. I mean, it kind of makes sense. It almost seems like if you kill a dog or a cat now, it's worse than killing a person
right.
half the time, the way it's presented in the media. But, I mean, come on. There are people all over the world who eat cats and dogs. And I've never eaten a cat, never eaten a dog, don't have a desire to do it. But it's kind of weird to think that if that's a part of your culture, or even if you want to adopt that as a part of your culture, that should be illegal when we kill all kinds of other things and eat them. I'm not sure. I mean, I'm not supporting killing cats and dogs and eating them, but I'm not sure we should put a man in prison when he does that at the same time that, you know, McDonald's or KFC or whatever is slaughtering millions of animals every year. So, Shelley, you're a cat lover.
Yes.
What do you think about
this? I disagree with you. Hang on.
Why?
Because it's a cat. It's a cat or a dog. And in this country, we just don't do that.
But going to prison, you're going to put a man behind bars for it?
Okay, I mean, maybe we won't put him behind prison. Maybe we'll do something horrible to him and then let him go.
Like what?
I don't know, but something really, really bad.
Okay, Forrest, what do you think about this?
I mean, it's bad, but, you know, like in another culture, no one will bat an eye. Like you said, no one will bat an eye about eating a cat or a dog.
Well, here's another thing to think about. You know, just, okay, you're, you know, eating cats or dogs. I mean, you don't do that in this country, you know, but you have to look at it from the standpoint that, you know, if he's...
Yeah, okay, we'll pause right there because we're running out of time. Okay, think if you were going to a Hindu country and you were eating a cow. What if they put you in jail for that, right? We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to dig into some more, believe it or not, related stories. and just so much weirdness, so much strange stuff that's happening as 2012 kicks off. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to the program where the unusual becomes usual, where we dig into the amazing, the remarkable, the extraordinary, the downright weird. It's called Speaking of Strange, and we'll be back right after this.
This here's a jam for all the fellas. Try to do what those ladies tell us. Get shot down cause you're overzealous. Play hard to get females, get jealous. Okay, smarty, go to a party. Girls are dancing and clad are showing body. A chick walks by, you wish you could sex her, but you're standing on the wall like you was Poindexter. Next day's function, high-class luncheon. Food is served and you're stone-cold munching. Music comes on, people start to dance, but then you ate so much, you nearly split your pants. A girl starts walking, guys start gawking. Sits down next to you and starts talking. Says she wanna dance cause she likes the groove. So come on, fatso, and just bust the move.
the show where the unusual becomes usual. Speaking of strange, I am your host, Joshua P. Warren, and we've got a lot to talk about tonight, especially in the dark 30 hour. It's just, you know, as 2012 proceeds and the pace quickens, the amount of material just keeps flowing in faster and faster. And I have an announcement to make, the second hour of tonight's show. You know, we have known for a long time that 2012 was going to be a crazy year, and what are the chances that it would just so happen to turn out that of all the places on the planet, you and I, Shelley, along with about 38 of our friends, even though we may not have met them all yet, people who support us, are going to Transylvania.
Yeah.
And, you know, I bring this up for a number of reasons. For one thing, the trip is already sold out, but there could always be cancellations. So we don't want to stop talking about it altogether, because if somebody cancels at the last minute, you might want to get on the list, you know, in case there's an opening. But during the break, you gave me some interesting items. At Wright's Coin Shop, you said someone knew you were going to Romania, and they brought a couple of things in. Let's talk about this. How would you describe this?
Well, it kind of looks like a coaster, except you can't put anything on it.
You hang it on the wall.
You hang it on the wall.
It's made of ceramic?
Something like that.
And it says Romania. It has Vlad Dracul's face.
Mm-hmm.
Underneath it, it says Dracula, 1377. There's also a depiction of a small clustered village. It's nicely engraved on the frame, and also you have a bill here that actually it looks more like a Canadian bill than an American bill. Just to give you an idea of the overall coloring and texture, it's smaller than an American or Canadian bill. However, it looks like, just by aging, you'd look at it and say, this looks like it's 50 years old. Turns out, you said it's, what, like 10 years old?
Yeah, it's not very old at all. And in collector speak, in currency speak, it is the size of fractional currency.
Okay. And on one side, you have the face in nice engraved detail of Vlad Dracula. And on the other side, well, you've got the little village. So I guess those are the two popular images, an old ancient village and the face of Dracula. So he is presented on here like the face of George Washington might be on the $1 bill. And I brought up a point that we were discussing here during the break. That is to say that my friend Dr. Bill Forshtin spends a lot of time in Mongolia. And, of course, in Mongolia's history, their most enduring and famous conqueror and leader was Genghis Khan, or Chinggis Khan, as the locals call him. And we think of Genghis Khan as this, bloodthirsty, villainous type of figure. But there, he is considered almost deified. You know, he is such a heroic, sacred figure. And so you have to be careful. You don't want to, you know, like, mention him in a bad light when you're a guest in Mongolia. It seems like the same thing might be the case for the Romanians, that we think of Vlad as, you know, the inspiration for one of horror's greatest movie figures, you know, Dracula, the blood-sucking vampire. We have all these images of the real man torturing people, you know, nailing their hats to their heads, impaling them on stakes, practically eating them, burning down warehouses full of vagabonds locked inside, et cetera, et cetera. But there, he is going to be hailed as a forefather.
Yes.
So do you have any feelings that this might cause problems? Here we are, a bunch of, you know, pasty American tourists who are going to go traipsing over there. I want to learn about vampires and werewolves and ghosts.
Well, no, because we're not going to do the typical tourist thing. I mean, yeah, we're going to do some tourist things, and I really hope we have some good shopping. However, we're scientists. We're investigators. We have a purpose for being there, other than just fun and frolicking.
Well, and we'll see. I'm sure we're not the first tourists who've ever been there, and they probably have a stereotype associated with Americans that have been, oh, show me vampires, you know. So, now, I think, well, you know, we're probably going to see some vampires anyway. So you have also a stack of black and white copied paper stapled together. Why are you holding that up?
Well, because I wanted to show you that, you know, they're not all that averse to the stereotype of the vampire.
Because they
of
like
Count
tourism.
Dracula.
They like,
well,
money.
Yeah. Look at the restaurant sign there with Count Chocula there.
Yeah. Well, I have a feeling that it depends. You got to be very particular about, you know, where the tourists are tolerated.
Right. Obviously, they're tolerated. But, I mean, as long as you go in and you're respectful.
Right.
You're going to be all right.
Well, that's cool. That's very cool. And, you know, Forrest, you brought up a good question. You said, do they eat cats there?
They might.
I mean,
I know it's not going to be the same fare that we have here.
Well, yeah, that's right. You know,
I mean, you're not going to
be
able to go around the corner and get a hamburger.
Yeah, and we've got to learn some Romanian, or we might not know what's on half of the stuff. Because I don't just want to stick on this little narrow pathway that's been carved out for tourists. I want to get off a little bit onto the back roads, do my own thing a little bit.
Right.
I'm going to have to know a little Romanian.
Well, I know one thing that you like to do is when I've traveled with you enough to know that you like to go and, like, actually, like I said, get off the back roads and go maybe to a bar or local watering hole and
yes.
just buddy up with, like, the bartender or the server
yes.
there.
Perfect.
And say, hey, what do the locals do around here for fun? What is the best place that you can tell me to go?
That's
and,
exactly right.
I've gone with you several times and seen some of the best places.
Oh man,
doing that.
We've had a blast doing that. That's a very simple way of getting the real scoop. Shelley, recently we were trying to learn some Romanian words, and I said, "You're never going to remember this because I know I'm not, and I don't remember it." Do you?
I do.
Okay, what is it?
Mulzumesc.
Mulzumesc. Okay, now what does that mean?
Thank you.
Okay, Mulzumesc.
Mulzumesc.
We got to keep doing that just to, you know, refresh ourselves on what these words, because that's, you know, a typical thing you'll need to know, like, please, thank you, where is the bathroom, this cost how much, and then things like, screw you.
This item is cooked, right?
Well,
I'll add that one to the list.
You know, don't Chinese people eat cats? Isn't that, or is that just Koreans? Or, I mean, I know there are Asian countries that eat cats.
I know there's some Asian countries that,
I don't
it's
know
part
enough
of their culture.
About, you know, Shelley?
No, I had another point to make about cats and dogs entirely when it comes to American culture.
What's that?
Well, what I was going to say right before we went to the break, which was when you know, if you I couldn't quite get it from the article that you read whether or not it sounded like he was torturing these animals before he ate them. But, I mean, in American culture, that is one of the warning signs to, you know, somebody's behavior escalating and then becoming a serial killer, whether or not they tortured and killed animals.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's true. But I don't know. They haven't put all those details in there, but I guess we'll find out. But, you know, here's a story from Pennsylvania. And it's about a guy who was apparently reading a newspaper. And he read a story about a dude who robbed a Chinese restaurant. And when he read this story, a little light bulb went off in his head because he then realized, oh, crap, I did this. It was my split personality guy who did this.
Wait a minute. I thought the whole thing with split personalities was that one didn't know about the other.
Well, apparently at times one can recognize the other. That's the point of the story.
Okay.
So it says here, online court records don't list an attorney for this 23-year-old guy who's been jailed since surrendering. Now, he came to the station saying he didn't feel well and he knew that he did something stupid. So he said that he ordered food, became angry when he perceived the person waiting on him was continuing to speak Chinese. The next thing he remembers, he was playing video games at his cousin's home. Later, he realized he committed the robbery when he read about it in that paper. Man, that's weird. Is that possible? I don't know. We're going to take a break. When we come back, more stories that, again, oddly enough, relate to this train of thought. That's why we call it the show where the unusual becomes usual. It's Speaking of Strange. Don't touch that dial.
Standing alone, my senses reel. Fatal attraction that's holding me fast. How can I escape? It's irresistible.
From Asheville, North Carolina, land of the sky. This is Speaking of Strange. I am your host, Joshua P. Warren. Hope you're having a good evening. And so much weird stuff to dig into tonight. We're just never going to make it through all of it. But that's what's happening in the world today. I have a big announcement for you guys coming up hour number two. And don't forget, you can go to speakingofstrange.com. for a live chat during the show, regular updates on weird news around the world, more information on topics discussed, and links to the official Haunted Asheville Ghost Tour. We also have ghost hunts going on at the Asheville Masonic Temple. How cool is that? HauntedAsheville.com will give you your opportunities to check all that out. So, you know, speakingofstrange.com is a great portal. And I swear, Shelley, one of these days, we got to get the Wright's Coin Shop page activated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, you know, you've already got a decent layout for one of our listeners.
Yes, thank you, Pete.
We just need to get the content all put together and sent off to him. That can be done easily enough, and then people can go and visit you and buy all kinds of things from you.
Yes.
Not just gold and silver. I mean, that's one thing. Just like, for example, if you were listening before the break, hopefully it was on the air in your area. You have, you know, some currency here that came from Romania. Well, you have all kinds of odd, interesting things there.
We do. We have been told that we have the nicest coin shop in the United States. People come and visit us from all over the United States. And you do not even have to be buzzed in to come to our shop.
Just buzzed.
Well, not even buzzed. Hopefully not buzzed. Anyway, we have not just the bullion, but we also have collector coins. And we specialize in U.S., but we do have some foreign, and we have a full line of supplies. And if you want to invest, but you don't want to do it in gold or silver, that's okay. You can do it in key coins.
And the number there is 828-298-5402.
Yes.
828-298-5402. You can call up Shelley and just talk to her. Just see, you know, what they've got, what you might be interested in. You know, she'll help you out. I know she will.
And I will give you my honest opinion.
I'm sorry, then.
No, it's worth a lot. You have the benefit of my expertise.
Hey, so you don't have a dog, right, Shelley?
No.
Have you ever had a dog?
No.
Are you kidding me?
No.
In your whole life?
No.
Wow. So all cats, huh?
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. I said that's amazing because you grew up here in Asheville. Asheville's kind of a big dog area.
Yeah, I mean, I know about dogs.
Yeah.
I've sat dogs and walked them and fed them. And
yeah, because I'm sure you've had dogs, Forrest, right? Yeah.
I have.
Yeah. Well, here's a story from San Diego, California. Right now there's a new cable channel, and it's called Dog TV. Now, you might hear this and say, oh, well, maybe it's just like, you know, Animal Planet, but it's nothing but dogs. No, actually, that's not the case. This channel is for your dog. They say it is to provide companionship for dogs and reduce stress caused by an owner's absence. They say the content is not breed specific. Now, what is that breed specific? I would love to know what the rundown of breed-specific programming would be. And a veterinarian specializing in animal behavior says visually oriented sight hounds, including whippets and greyhounds, may be more inclined to watch than scent hounds, such as basset hounds, which tend to keep their nose to the ground and focus on smells. Dog TV uses colors that dogs see best. That is, they see colors at the end of the spectrum better, including yellow, green, indigo, and violet, and sounds that are soothing, such as classical music. There are three stages of programming. There's one to encourage playfulness. There's one for relaxation. And it says, and one to exposure. That is to take dogs who might have stress in crowds and situations like that, and kind of slowly introduce them to crowds, vacuum cleaners, noises that'll make them freak out. In fact, today at my house, you know, we have a little wiener dog. The wind was blowing hard, and whenever the wind starts blowing hard, she gets scared, and she finds me wherever I am in the house and just wants to sit there and be next to me. Doesn't matter if I'm taking a nap, she'll come and she freaks out if there's thunder, wind. But wind, you're like, why would a dog be afraid of wind? I don't know, but she is. And so who knows what she's perceiving. Maybe it's some high-frequency sound. I don't know. But, you know, I guess there may be something to this because often when I leave the house, I'll have, like, the radio on. And so my dog has probably heard more conservative opinions than I have. So if I probably have like a little Republican dog if she could learn to talk, you know. But anyway, you have some thoughts on this, Forrest?
You're talking about the wind today. My cats were acting crazy today when the wind was getting a little rough out there.
Well, so, you know, I guess there's something to
Where's
it.
The cat channel?
Yeah, well, I mean, I wonder if cats just don't give a darn.
Don't give a darn.
They just don't even think. A lot of times the dog doesn't in my house. The only time I ever see our dog pay attention to TV is if there are other dogs on TV. And they're screaming or squealing or, you know, you got some kind of like dog whisperer show and you have those really like legitimate recordings of dogs barking, then she'll perk up. But, you know, animals are so strange. I kind of keep you guys updated on animal news because I think that animals are a great sort of window on the changes that are happening to our planet this year. Because, you know, humans, we're so locked into our ego, you know, the most important thing in the world is what I'm doing today. But if you really want to look at a cross-section of what's happening all over the planet, you have to look at the different ways that various creatures are perceiving things. And that's one thing I stressed in one of my books, Pet Ghosts. So here we have another report about hundreds of dead birds that have fallen from the sky over I-95 in Maryland. Hundreds of birds just dropped from the sky, bringing rush hour traffic to a crawl. They were common starlings, and while there were a few in the grass and on the shoulders of the highway, the vast majority landed right on the northbound travel lanes. One lady says, quote, "We were just kind of curious about running them over and getting them stuck in your tires and all that nastiness. I travel this all the time and have never seen anything like that before," end quote. So right now they have all these biologists that are trying to determine what happened. It says here in this news story, some suspect something sinister, environmental hazards, toxins in the air, something in the environment. Well, okay. So, you know, all these tests are being done, but, you know, they're looking at power lines, some type of, you know, leakage here. But, you know, nobody ever really figures out why this happens. It happens all the time. Nobody Right. knows why. Just a whole group of birds. It may have to do, I bet the one big factor is flock mentality. One bird does something and the rest of them follow. So you just need one, you know, crazed, stupid, sick bird or whatever.
One crazed alpha bird.
Yeah. And in fact, I have seen studies done about the way that birds will fly in a big group. And apparently, if that one kind of alpha leader bird makes a change, just a tiny little change in its flight pattern, there are dozens, if not hundreds, of birds that almost instantly make that same change. That's why when you see a bunch of birds flying together, it looks like one cohesive mass. Some have even wondered if it's a psychic phenomenon, that these birds are able to mentally kind of transmit messages to each other. I don't know if that's the case. It's probably that their brains are just so quick and can process information so efficiently that they're able to pick up on those tiny little nuances as the leaders shift. But either way, this as this becomes more and more pronounced and more crazy, we're going to take a break. But when we come back, now I have this story from the BBC. Okay, this is not from some wacko fringe news source. From the BBC about scientists who are proclaiming that dolphins deserve the same rights as humans. Now, I read this and I thought, oh, come on, this can't be serious. It turns out it's dead serious. There are legitimate scientists here, quoted by the BBC, who say that, honest to God, dolphins should be treated as humans. They're that intelligent. I'll explain more when we come back. It's the show where we dig into, well, all the strange stuff in the world. That's why we call it Speaking of Strange.
Same as my daddy and his daddy before. You hardly ever saw granddaddy down here.
Her sugar lips, her chin, oh la la, where has she been? Her silvery voice, her sweet perfume, the night she prays. But you build your garden. Sometimes you get closer. Now you see her, now you don't. Now you see her, now you don't. You'll never match her, but you can have some fun. Maybe you'll get to hold her. But now you see her, and now you don't. Now you see her, and now you don't.
In the final minutes of hour number one on tonight's Speaking of Strange. And coming up next hour, I have a big announcement. It part of it is good, part of it is bad. I think it's far more good than bad, but you know, it's going to make an impact on this program, a pretty significant impact on this program. So I hope you'll stick around for that. And gosh, you know, there's just so much that we're going to dig into this evening. Sometimes it gets a little overwhelming. You just don't know where to go next. But, you know, we've been talking some about looking to animals, whether you want to eat them or entertain them, in terms of representatives of our planet and what's happening in this crazy year 2012. And then here I see this story from the BBC with all of these experts, and the headline is Dolphins Deserve Same Rights as Humans. And again, when I saw this, I said, what is this? What do they mean by that? Well, it means exactly what it sounds like it means. The story here says dolphins should be treated as non-human persons with their rights to life and liberty respected, scientists meeting in Canada have been told. Experts in philosophy, conservation, and animal behavior are asking for support for a declaration of rights for cetaceans. Apparently a cetacean is a dolphin. I guess that's like a whale or a dolphin, a mammalian aquatic creature. I don't know, Forrest, you know, Shelley, cetacean. Says here, they believe dolphins and whales are sufficiently intelligent to justify the same ethical considerations as humans. What that means is that recognizing their rights would mean an end to whaling and their captivity or use in entertainment. It is based on years of research that has shown dolphins and whales have large, complex brains and a human-like level of self-awareness. Now, let me repeat that, a human-like level of self-awareness. They say they can literally look at themselves in a mirror, and they know they're looking at themselves. They are self-aware. They're that conscious. And in describing them as non-human persons, they say a person needs to be an individual. If individuals count, then the deliberate killing of individuals of this sort is ethically the equivalent of deliberately killing a human being. There's a list here of reasons, or I guess examples, of why that dolphins and similar creatures, orcas, whatever, are so smart. It says here, for example, a member of a group of orcas or killer whales in Patagonia had a damaged jaw. So like this one had a damaged jaw, right? It could not eat, could not feed itself. But this elderly whale was fed and kept alive by its companions. Another example. Dolphins taking part in an experiment had to press one of two levers to distinguish between sounds, some of which were very similar. By pressing a third lever, they were able to tell the researchers they wanted to pass on a test because it was too hard. And they say, when you place dolphins in a situation like that, they respond exactly the same as humans do because they're accessing their own thoughts and thinking their own thoughts. Okay, whatever. Next, it says a number of captive dolphins were rewarded with fish in return for tidying up their tank. One of them ripped up a large paper bag, hid away the pieces, and presented them one at a time to get multiple rewards. And another example, they say, in Iceland, killer whales and fishermen have been known to work together. The whales show the fishermen where to lay their nests and in return are allowed to feed on part of the catch. Then they lead the fleet to the next fishing ground. I've actually seen something similar to this myself. Years ago, I was at Jekyll Island, Georgia, and Lauren and I were out there. It was a beautiful sunset evening, and there were shells everywhere, and there were guys right there on the beach with nets. And I watched them for a while, and they would throw these nets out there, and basically all these dolphins were coming up and working together to drive fish into these nets, because the dolphins realized that that would also give them the opportunity to eat more of the fish that were being captured. And so these dolphins, these wild dolphins, you know, are just making their way down the beach working with these fishermen. So, I mean, there is something, I guess, to this. So anyway, they had this declaration, and they, I mean, I've never heard of such a thing seriously taken, but they have all these psychologists, all these biologists, and they're saying humans are not as unique as we think we are, and it's time to protect dolphins and similar creatures in the same way we protect humans, getting back to the mermaid philosophy, right? Got to take a break. When we return, much more strange news, plus my big announcement. I hope you'll stick around for that. It's the show where the unusual becomes usual. It's called Speaking of Strange. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. The fun continues right after this.